Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Brad and Chad and Praise Team, for leading us in worship. It's good to be back with you again this beautiful October Sunday that the Lord has blessed us with. Now, before I begin, I want to just invite you back tonight. We're going to be talking about, why does Christianity have a cross? Now, I mean, I think that's obvious, but stop and think about it for a minute. Other religions, what are their symbols? Star, right? Crescent moon, lotus blossom, things that are talk about radiance and light. Why do we have a cross? I want you to think on that. I invite you back tonight at 6 o'clock where we'll be talking about that. Well, the book of James is one of the most practical of the New Testament epistles. What's an epistle? Another word for a letter, thank you. It's an old word for a letter. And the pastor asked me, I asked him, I said, what have you been preaching on? And he said, I've been doing a series in the book of James. He said, you can preach on anything you want, or you can preach on the next section. I said, well, I'll preach on the next section. So we're going to be looking again at the practical book of James. A good summary of the book would be faith at work, I think. A key verse in James is in James 2:17. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This is for you cat people, by the way. I thought you'd get a kick out of that picture. But that's one of the key verses in the book. Lessons that have been covered so far, a true faith is a tested faith, isn't it? Real faith obeys God's word. It removes discrimination and it proves itself by works. A mature faith controls the tongue, doesn't it? It produces wisdom and humility. It's all lessons that we've learned. But today we're going to talk about how true faith produces dependence on God. But before we turn to the word of God, would you join me as we talk again to the God of the word? Heavenly Father, we worship you today in your holiness. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in Christ that allows us to enter your presence without fear, to know that we are accepted in the Beloved. Speak to us now through your word. Open our eyes to your truth. Help us to see Jesus. For we pray in the name above all names, the name of Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let me ask you a question here. Have you ever read a horoscope? Don't put your hand up. Don't want to embarrass anybody. Have you ever read a horoscope? They used to be in the newspapers all the time. Now you can get a, he put his hand up anyway. You can get an app on your smartphone if you want to read your daily horoscope. Why the fascination, I wonder, with horoscopes? Well, I think I may have discovered the reason. As Americans, we are obsessed with the future. By the way, I think one of the great movies of all time is Back to the Future. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But a good example of that are the fact that many of us tune in to the weather forecast every day. I've got an app on my phone. Every morning I get up, my wife says, what's the weather going to be? And I look at it, you know. That's the future. That's the future, isn't it? We try all kinds of things to try to predict the future. People use tea leaves. Go to a Chinese restaurant, what do they give you? Fortune cookie. That's about your future, isn't it? People use astrology. They go to palm readers. Well, what is the Christian viewpoint of the future? How am I as a child of God to relate to what may or may not happen? I want to think about that with you. What should my reaction be? Today we're going to look at James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me in your Bible. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, maybe someone near you will share with you so that you can see for yourself what God's Word says. We're going to look at what God's Word says about how to plan your future. As we examine what James says, we're going to see that there are three mistakes that people commonly make that we should avoid. James warns us. He says, plan for your future, but be aware of these three mistakes. Okay? He illustrates the first mistake with a typical conversation between two businessmen. One guy probably has MBA from the University of Jerusalem. The other guy might have been a CEO of a Tel Aviv Fortune 500 company. They're talking and discussing their plans. And in verse 13, we listen in on their conversation. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. And you say, what's wrong with that? People make plans every day. Here's a couple of go-getters, entrepreneurs. They have a detailed business plan. When? Today or tomorrow. Where? This or that city. How long? A year. What? We're going to carry on business. Why? Make money. What's wrong with that? The Bible doesn't condemn making legitimate profit. It recommends good planning. This man had planned everything. His purpose, the place, the progress. He's got all the bases covered. What's wrong here? The problem? These businessmen made a huge mistake that most of us make. And that leads us to James' first warning about planning our future. Number one, don't plan without God. Don't plan without God. There's not a single mention of God in his entire business plan. He knew what he wanted. He knew how to get there, but he didn't check with God first. Now, let me be clear. The Bible encourages planning. Jesus said, no man goes out and builds a house without first considering how much it's going to cost. And the book of Proverbs repeatedly says, if I don't plan, I'm a fool. It's wise to plan. So James isn't talking about planning here. He's talking about presumption without God. Presumption without God. It's great to have dreams. It's great to have goals if you include God, if you seek his will. There's nothing wrong with what he did. All these things are fine. It's what he forgot to do. He forgot to submit to God. His attitude was one of self-sufficiency. Alexander Solzhenitsyn spent 50 years studying the Russian Revolution. He said, if I were asked today the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million Russians, I could not have put it more accurately than to repeat that men have forgotten God. What is more, if I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the 20th century, I would be unable to be more precise than this statement, men have forgotten God. Well, what's the problem here? Verses 13 and 14, what is James saying? You can be a believer and forget God in your daily life. Many people love the Lord with all their heart, but when it comes to their business, planning their career or their school education, they're what you call a practical atheist. And that's the problem here, practical atheism. It's sad to meet somebody who says, well, I don't believe in God, I don't believe he exists. But it's sadder still to find a Christian who says, well, I believe in God, but then act like he doesn't exist. They don't make any plans involving the Lord. They behave as if it all depends on them. You say, well, I believe in God, Pastor. That's great. Does he have a say in your business? You say, well, I don't believe in mixing business and faith. Listen, all business is God's business if you're a believer. Don't plan without God. That's presumption. Planning without God is practical atheism. Well, what's the solution? How can you fix this? James, would you tell us? James tells us in verse 15. He says we need to submit to God. Instead, he said, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Circle the if it is the Lord's will. Do you realize that even the best laid plans often fall apart? There's this thing called Murphy's, what? Law. What does Murphy's law say? If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong, right? Life is just one big if. You can count on it. Right there in the middle of the word life is the word if. Life is iffy. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't either. I can make an educated guess, but planning without God is presumptuous. The starting point in facing the future is to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? We should begin all our planning by saying, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. Couldn't that become a cliche? Of course, you can trivialize it. But he's not saying that. He's saying that the whole attitude of our life should be, it's up to God. Whatever he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. You know, for hundreds of years, Christians used to write the letters DV at the end of their letters. Then they'd sign their name, and then they'd write DV. It stood for the Latin phrase, Deo Volente, Lord willing. James says that ought to be our response to life. It's okay to plan, but include God in your plans. There's three possible responses to God's will. First of all, I can make reference to God's will, and I think that's what he says here. I admit God has a plan for me. I accept it. I acknowledge it. I refer to it. But you can also show deference to God's will. Respect his will. Value it. It's saying, I really want God's will, and I accept it in my life. Then lastly, you can show preference for God's will. More than anything else, I want God's will in my life. What God wants, that's my plan. It's just like Jesus prayed. What did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. One of the verses I learned very early on as a boy, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, the King James says acknowledge, but I like this translation. It says submit to him and he will make your path straight. Stop praying, God bless what I'm doing. Don't pray that anymore. You know, God, I've made my plans. I've worked hard at making my plans. Now please bless my plans. Stop praying that. Instead, pray, God, help me do what you're blessing. God is doing a lot of amazing things in the world. I want to be part of those amazing things, don't you? This is a Baptist church. You can say amen if you agree, okay? Just say it, all right? Help me do what you're blessing. I don't want my plans. I want your plans in my life because your plans give me success. I hesitate to say this, but if you don't get anything else this morning, make sure you get this, okay? Presumptuous planning is proud boasting, but a mature faith trusts the future to God. A mature faith trusts the future to God. We don't know what's on the other side of that tunnel. God does. Planning without God is the first mistake. You correct it by submitting to God in your goal setting. Next, James warns us to avoid a second mistake in planning our future. He says, don't presume about tomorrow. Don't presume about tomorrow. Don't take tomorrow for granted. Look at verses 14 and then verse 16. I'm using the New International Version here. James says, why do you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. He gives us two reasons here why we shouldn't presume about the future and assume we've got tomorrow. First of all, he says, life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. James says, you don't even know. You don't even know. None of us knows what will happen tonight, much less next year. We can only guess. Life is so unpredictable. A terrorist attack could happen again. The economy could nosedive. Your friends could leave you. None of us know what life will bring. Some of you are self-employed or you work on commission. I once did that. You know, your income goes either from feast to famine, right? You don't know. There's no guarantee of perpetual success. James says, don't presume on tomorrow. We shouldn't let life's uncertainty frighten us or worry us, though. Here's one response that I kind of like to the uncertainty of life. Life is uncertain, so eat dessert first. I like the way that little boy is tearing into that chocolate cake. But the right response should be to trust God more. Trust God more. Be more dependent on him. Life is uncertain, but God is faithful. God is faithful, and he's not going to lose his reputation on you or me. Not only is life uncertain, life is also brief. Life is brief. He says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a while. Your life is like a fog. It rolls in at night, especially this time of year. Have you noticed that if you have to drive to work in the morning and I go down through Glasgow Natural Bridge, it's just fog all the way. But by the time I get to I-81, the sun's coming up, and it burns right off. And James says your life is just like that. It's very brief. Who knows how long we're going to live? None of us do. None of us do. I have a little short video clip here I'd like you to watch, okay? Maybe this will make the point home. Life is temporary. What are you living for? It'd be good for us, each of us, if we remember that every day, how short life is. It goes from Hot Wheels to wheelchair pretty quickly. We got the picture up there? What happened? There we go. There's the Hot Wheels, the wheelchair. Those of us that are older can attest to that. It goes from diapers to dignity to decay in no time at all. Life is brief. Don't presume you have the rest of your life. Don't take tomorrow for granted. I'm just one heartbeat away from eternity, and so are you, folks. Let me show you how up-to-date the Bible is. Listen to Isaiah 56, verse 12. Come, each one cries, let us drink our fill of beer, and tomorrow will be like today or even better. That's in the Bible. Do you know anybody like that? Life's great. Let's have a party. Let's get drunk. Bring on the beer. Live it up. Have fun. We're going to live forever, and tomorrow will be even better. You know anybody like that? James says, that's dumb. You can't presume tomorrow is going to be the same as today. You don't know that you're going to live to be 100. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We love to announce our plans. Well, next year, I'm going to double my income. Next year, I'm going to get that promotion. Announcing a goal can either be a statement of faith or arrogance. What makes the difference? Your motive. Why are you saying it? I think it's Woody Allen is credited with this quote. He says, do you want to make God laugh? Tell him about your plans. I love this picture. I was planned. I was not. Me neither. Triplets. Yeah. Make God laugh. Tell him your plans. Tell him your plans. God says it's great to have goals, but check in with me first. Would you let me share with you what I think your goal should be? Don't presume about tomorrow. So what's the solution? The solution is to live daily. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Like this little guy here, he looks so worried about tomorrow, doesn't he? Live daily, one day at a time. That's how God says to face the future. The future may be overwhelming, but fortunately it comes in bite-sized pieces, little 24-hour segments that we get to live one day at a time. You can plan for the future, but take advantage of the present. I can't live in the future. You can't either. You can only live for today. One of the big groups when I was growing up was the Beatles, and John Lennon is credited with saying this. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. You can spend all your time playing the greatest Christmas in the world and miss out the joy of your family Thanksgiving because you're always thinking about the future. Today is the good old days that you're going to talk about in 20 years, right? You oldsters, right? Make the most of it now. Enjoy the now. Don't make the mistake of planning without God. Don't make the mistake of presuming about tomorrow. One of my favorite little books was written by Spencer Johnson. It was called The One-Minute Manager. Maybe some of you read that years ago. He wrote another book called The Precious Present. In it, he said, the precious present we receive is literally the present time. That's all I have. Not next hour, not next month, right now. That's the gift God has given to me and you, so we ought to use it because all we have is the present. Just because the future is uncertain, though, doesn't mean you need to be uptight about it and become paralyzed with panic. Let it motivate you to trust God more. Put your trust in God. That's how you face the future. I don't know what my future holds, neither do you, but I know who holds my future. Amen? David said in Psalm 31, he said, Lord, my times are in your hands. Commitment. That's what James says. So don't make the mistake of planning without God or presuming about tomorrow. Instead, submit your plans to God. Make the most of today. Live daily for him. James' last warning is a third mistake we're prone to make when planning the future. And that's this in verse 17. He says, don't put off doing good. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, what does he say? Sins. sins. James puts his finger on one of the big problems we have today, procrastination. Procrastination. That's what James is saying. Well, I intend to do it. Ever met anybody that's always aiming to do it, but they never pull the trigger? You know, they're always aiming. I'm going to do it. Ever hear the procrastinator promise? Here it is. Procrastinator's promise. Procrastination is my sin. It only caused me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. Many enjoy putting duties off, including what James just said. You ought to say, if the Lord wills. Yeah, I know I ought to say that. Do you? I've incorporated that. I do a lot of substitute teaching. On Friday, I'll tell the secretary in charge of substitutes, I'll see you Sunday. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And then I smile. If the Lord is willing. But you know what? Knowing the right thing to do doesn't mean you'll do it. Remember a couple years ago, the Ad Council put out some ads about people who almost helped a homeless man. They almost gave him a sandwich. They almost gave him a blanket to keep him warm at night. And the commercial ended by saying, and he almost made it through the night. Don't almost give. How do you define sin? We usually think of evil actions, don't we? Murder, cheating, stealing, lying. Those are sins of commission, but James is talking here about sins of omission. To him who knows the good to do and doesn't do it, the King James says, it is sin. I can do nothing and still sin because there are things I ought to be doing, but I'm not. Folks, Christianity is more than just simply avoiding evil. If the Christian life was just a bunch of don'ts, don't do this, don't do that, then everybody who's dead in the cemetery would be a Christian because they don't do anything, right? Right. Procrastination is a subtle trap. It's the land of someday I'll do it. One of these days, and you never do it because you presume about tomorrow. God says you don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. The solution is to do it now. Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, well, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow when you have it now with you. The Peace Corps did a TV commercial, basically said it doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. Doesn't matter how long you live. We worry about the duration of our life, how long we're going to live, but God's concern is with the donation of your life. What are you doing with your life? Am I making my life count, or am I frittering it away doing things that don't matter at all? God says, make your life count. Do it now. A good friend of mine, Dr. Bod Callett, used to say this. He said, some may die in battle. Some may die in flames, but others perish inch by inch while playing silly games. Don't fritter your life away. Whatever you hope to do for the Lord, do it now. Not next week, not next month or next year. Thinking about talking to a friend about Christ or inviting him to church, do it now. Thinking about teaching a class, getting involved in a Bible study, do it now. Thinking about starting to tithe and giving, do it now. My father-in-law used to say, he said, do your giving while you're living because then you'd be knowing where it's going. The Bible says right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. For some of you, today is the day to give your life to the Lord. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. You're not here by accident. You weren't created and made just to breathe and take up space, get up in the morning, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, watch a little TV, go to bed, get up tomorrow and do it all over again, then retire and then die. There's more to life than that, folks. And it starts when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You commit yourself to him. He becomes the manager of your life and he directs your path. You start by establishing a personal relationship with God. through faith in the Son of God. So what about you? Are you making these mistakes that James is talking about? Are you planning without God? Are you presuming on tomorrow? Are you putting off doing good? What are your plans for the future? Have you planned your work, scheduled your appointments, and then prayed, by the way, God, would you just please bless my date book here? That's practical atheism. The person who ignores God while planning their life is no different than the person who says that God doesn't exist. Does God have a say in your schedule, or do you just fill it up? Does God have priority in your planning? Let's get specific here for a minute. Have you talked to God about your retirement? Or did you just think you could do it any way you want to? Have you talked to God about your plans to go to school, to get a degree? Have you talked to God about your plans to get married, or get divorced, or date, or stay single? You say God isn't interested in those things. He is. He is. Have you talked to God about your business, a career change, your investments, how you spend your money? James reminds us that we don't have any right to plan our lives if God doesn't, as if he doesn't care. Check with him first. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. I like to ask people this all the time. Do you know why prayer works? Prayer works because we have a prayer-answering God who loves to give good things to his children. Maybe your reaction to all this is like my favorite cartoon character, Charlie Brown. I can't do it. The solution? Turn your eyes on Jesus. His focus was always to do the Father's will. He went around doing good. He never got ahead of God. Make it your goal to please him. Let him live his life through you. He wasn't just our example. When he left and went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit so that when you put your faith in him, God's Spirit fills you and enables you to live for him in a way you never could before. Do you have a tendency to take tomorrow for granted? Well, there'll always be time to spend time with my kids. Right now, we're just trying to make ends meet, and once we reach a certain standard of living, then I'm going to spend more time with my husband. Then I'll spend more time with my wife. Right. That's called the workaholic syndrome, folks. What starts out as a temporary condition ends up permanent lifestyle. People go 100 miles an hour, bringing in the bucks, and then once they have them, they have no relationships left. If you only had 1 week left to live, how would you spend it? What would you do with your husband, your wife, your parents, your children? God says, live every day and week as if it were your last. Don't get morbid about it, but plan for the future. But you can only live right now. That's what counts. That's what counts. You know, folks, you know what the number one way is that we presume about tomorrow? Credit spending. An undue amount of credit buying is presumption on the future, isn't it? We can afford it. Things are going to get better. Tomorrow will be better than today. That's presuming on tomorrow, isn't it? Live each day as if it were your last. James says, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Is God a partner in your business? Good for you. How? How is he a partner in business? Prove it. You say, well, how can I prove if God's a partner in my business? Simple. Does he get a part of the profits? Who ever heard of a partner in a business that didn't get some of the profits? There are businessmen who tithe not only on their personal account, but also on their business account. They say, God's my business partner, so we tithe on the profits of the business also, and they write two tithe checks. What do you know that you should do? And you know it's the right thing to do, but you've just put it off. You say, someday I'll get around to it. James says, do it now. Do it right now. Don't wait. Someday I'll give my life totally to God. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why not today? There is no better time. Let's bow together in prayer. close our eyes right now and everyone talking to God. Folks, there's no better time to give your life to Christ than now. Maybe you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not sure you have. Settle it today. Are you absolutely certain? Are you certain that if you die, you'll go to heaven? You can be sure, folks. Just do what the Bible says. Give your life to Christ. He's the bridge to God. You can pray just a simple prayer right now where you're sitting like this. You can say, God, I want you in my life. I realize you've made me for a purpose. I want to know what that purpose is. I failed you. I followed my own way, but now I turn to you. As much as I know how, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life. Make yourself real to me. I want you to call the shots. Lord, if I don't want to plan my future without you. I want to open my heart to you today. The Bible says right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he's ready to save you. God didn't bring you here by accident today. Today is your day. Say, Jesus, yes, I want you in my life. I want to be a Christian. Help me with my problems. He will. Others of you are saying, I know I'm a Christian, Lord. I know I've got you in my heart. But the greatest mistake is to forget God. Even Christians can do that. Some of you need to pray, Lord, help me not to plan without you. I want you in my plans. I want to know what your will is. Lord, help me live one day at a time. Not to worry, but to trust. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Lord, help me to stop putting off doing what I know I ought to do. Maybe it's to get involved more at your church. Maybe it's to get help with a problem. Maybe it's to change careers. Maybe it's to restore a relationship. I don't know. I don't know your heart, but God does. Today's the day. Don't procrastinate. Say in your heart, Lord, help me do what I know is right to do.